Alexa, stop.
I put headphones there if you want them, but I don't know if you want them.
You kind of look cool, so.
You know, no one can see this.
I'm going to take a photo.
So you're going to need to get a bit closer.
I know.
Jesus. Welcome to The Celeb and the Pleb. It's a podcast where I navigate the world of being a celebrity having a child with a pleb.
You've like put on your radio voice.
Two worlds collide, from red carpet to
shitty nappies.
So what is this podcast going to be about? That's what I know, you know, but people listening right now are probably rolling their eyes thinking, oh,
here they go again.
Another podcast. Oh yeah, let's just pretend to listen and text them and go, oh yeah, sounds great. Oh, that bit with the two of you were talking is, oh.
I guess it was more about everyone's journey is different, like on an IVF route, and we were very fortunate on our route, but it doesn't take away from the fact that we had to go down that road, and we had to have lots of difficult conversations quite early on.
Yeah,
earlier than maybe we were both ready for.
I don't know if, like, are people ever ready to have a kid?
Well, like, no, I'm sure most people, it's just, well, like, no, some people plan and it happens and, like, do you know, but then there's other people that it's just like, it just happens and they're like, shit, do you know, but I guess what I mean there is that most people don't have the conversation where we had to have the conversation because there was just this window of time that we could only do this. So it was like, if we're doing this, it's now. And we had to consider if it happens first time round, this is how quick it could happen.
Yeah.
Other people might just go, actually, we'll give it a bash. We'll keep going until something happens. Do you know, where we had to actually have the conversation.
Yeah. And I remember one of the conversations we had on the walk. Remember,
yes.
The famous walk. In all the years, we never had a scare.
Mm.
I don't know. I put to the back of my mind what age I actually am, what age you actually are, and just was like, I'm just loving our life, right? Like, that's just,
yeah.
We're going to concerts, we're traveling, we're doing all this. Like, I'm going to just keep doing this. And you're like, no.
Yeah, but I think that's what's so hard about the older you get deciding to have kids. It's amazing that there's an opportunity to be older and have kids. But it's also, there's this sense of like, why would I ruin this? Like, you know, you're very aware of what a child would do to your life and how it will change it. You're not out boozing every weekend, or you can't just go somewhere to drop a hat. And they're all things we would have done. Like, we definitely just on a Monday would have said, oh, this gig or whatever, let's go, or let's go for a drink or go for dinner, or, you know, whatever.
It was total freedom.
Be.
We had total freedom and we took advantage of it. So when we started talking about a kid being, you know, brought into the mix, yeah, there is the thought of like, well, all of that.
Yeah, you kind of, there's a fear of losing yourself or you losing us within that, do you know, and we are very fortunate. We had a really good life. Like, we have a really good life.
Yeah.
So.
And we will still with the kid.
We sound like it's all going to be doom and gloom. So yeah, on that walk, we had to have that difficult conversation, and that was tough because then we spoke about marriage as well on that walk. So it was a lot.
I remember coming back on that walk. We weren't talking for a little bit. We just took a bit of time.
I don't know, but like, it's not that we weren't talking in that we were fighting. It was just more we were sitting with our thoughts, because I guess up until that point, you know, I wasn't ready to speak about marriage, you know, after everything. And then you obviously weren't going there either. And it was kind of our first conversation of going like, oh no, actually, I do want to get married. And you were like, oh, I don't know if it bothers me if I get married or not. And then it led on to the kid conversation. And then you were just like, I just don't know if I see a world with kids. And, you know, then I guess from that, I had to say to you, well, this is actually what I want in my life. And we need to go away and think about this and come back and see if it's what we both want. So it is a scary conversation, because the other person could come back and go, well, actually, no, I've decided it's not what I want. Then the other decision is, do you end the relationship? Like,
yeah,
you know?
That's it. Because it's where we were just at a point in our lives where we realized if this relationship does end because we're not looking for the same thing out of it, you're starting again with someone new.
Yeah.
And you got to start everything again with someone new.
Which is a little bit easier for you than it would be for me.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm a ticking time bomb. Like, my age, do you know, like, if I want to have kids, do you know, like, for me to try and meet somebody, you know, all that jazz, and then try and have kids and stuff like that. Not that that's the reason why I stayed with you.
I'm getting a hidden truth here that I didn't realize.
It's like, you shit, I better stay.
You went on Tinder for a day and you're like, oh God, I don't fancy this.
I'm like, my option is either go back out there, try find somebody else, it'll take ages, or like just stay and try and convince them.
Yeah, I guess I just was living that kind of what I assume most men go through, this kind of, I'm going to be young forever, because there is no, we don't have that ticking time bomb as a man, really, to the same extent.
Yeah.
Certainly, we're not reminded of it on an almost daily basis, like, you know, a lot of women are. I know for us anyway, when we kind of started going down the route of IVF, and we after this long chat, and we took a little bit of time away from each
other. And I cried and was like, I need to know where I stand here. Either we're getting married and having kids, or what's the point? No, I'm joking.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
We in so many words, we had that conversation.
So yeah, so we took a little bit of time to really think about our answers to those questions, and then came back, and thankfully we're both on the same page after that.
Which is quite mature of us. I remember saying this to my mom, and like, I was quite proud that like, we have the ability in our relationship to give each other time away to sit with our thoughts, think about it, and then regroup and voice what we think, rather than in the moment flipping off or making decisions, you know, based on fear or whatever it might be. And I remember saying this to my mom, and she was like, Jesus, that was very mature of you. And I was like, yeah, it actually was quite mature of us to be able to do that. Like,
yeah, and I guess there is a sort of, I think we've got, ironic as I'm struggling to say this, I was going to say we've got good communication skills.
Yeah.
I can't even say that. But I think we do have good communication skills, and that comes from, I think, a maturity that we have from having been in other relationships.
Yeah.
And I know personally, I'm choosing to be in this relationship not because I couldn't see a life without, you know, somebody in it. I know I'd be happy single. I could be happy single. I have lots of things to fill my life with joy, and I don't need a person to make me feel whole.
Yeah.
And it's in getting to that point of being that comfortable, of not needing somebody to make you feel whole, at which I found I was able to then allow someone to come into my life and make it better.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's nice to be in a relationship because you're choosing to be in it, not being in a relationship because
for fear of being alone,
exactly,
or left on the shelf.
So when we had that chat, and when you put all the cards on the table, and you were like, either this is going to happen, or we need to really have a think about what our life is together.
Yeah, but it wasn't done in an ultimatum
way,
because like, you can't do that either to a person. And I think that's why it was so important to go away, have a think about it, and weigh up what could and couldn't happen, like, in that situation. And I had to sit comfortable with that before I brought it to you. And like, it was definitely done through conversation, not like, well, if you don't give me a baby, and if you don't put a ring on my finger, I'm walking out that door.
And look at you here a year later
ring
with a ring
on
your finger and a baby in the belly.
Yeah. No, but it was just like, I guess they're conversations that we probably avoided for a good few years in our relationship, because I came out of a long-term relationship. You weren't too long out of a long-term relationship either.
Yeah.
No, mine was longer, but like, you know, so I guess our minds probably weren't back in that place, or mine definitely wasn't at the beginning, you know. So
yeah.
I guess it just led into those conversations, so they had to be had, you know.
And we had them.
Yeah. And here we are.
And here we are. We are, what, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks out from your due date?
Yeah, just over 3 weeks. Just over 3 weeks, yeah.
And how are you feeling?
Very tired. Yeah. I actually feel all right today, not too bad. But yeah, the last couple of days has been tough. Just very uncomfortable. He's quite low down in my pelvis, so to walk and all that sort of stuff is difficult. And then the pains in my legs and my hips and all that sort of stuff. But it's grand. It's for a greater good, so it'll be fine.
Fair play to you for keep doing that, because I don't know if I would have it in me to be pregnant. It is... It's like a Chinese torture. It's like little bits of agony every single day.
Yeah, well, like, it wasn't every day, but definitely at the beginning. Like, I guess, yeah, I don't know. Like, ours was so unconventional anyway, so there was lots of like, oh my God, what if? Or like, is it going to happen? All that sort of stuff. So I think I just got used to being optimistic about it. And then obviously when it was successful, then that was great. But like, yeah, I don't know. And I was quite sick at the beginning. And it's funny because... You only said to me the other day about that, like, when I was really sick at the time, you were like, you look back at this and be like, oh, it's grand. And I was like, at the time, like, no, I won't. This is horrific.
I'll never forget this. And other pregnant women coming over saying, oh, I remember the first trimester. It's awful. Well, mine is worse. You don't know how. And now you're at that point of going,
oh, yeah, that was grand.
Like if somebody else was going through a difficult first trimester of being sick every day, you probably would be the same as people were to you, which is just like, oh, yeah, no, it's tough. But you get past it. Because I remember at the time you were like, you were saying that if this pregnancy goes full term and everything goes well, there was one point where you were like, I don't know if I could do this again if we try for another one.
But even like, even not even if it made a full term, like I remember at one point being feeling so sick that I was like, if, because it was so early on, and I remember at the time going like, if this doesn't work, like if this doesn't continue, like if I don't get past the 12 weeks or whatever, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can do another round. I don't know. So there are really dark thoughts in relation to that. That's how sick I felt at the time. And I remember at the time I had such a personal tug of war in my mind because I was like, you should be so grateful. You shouldn't like be upset that you're sick because like there's some people out there that this doesn't happen for. And I know people that it hasn't happened for and stuff, you know, at the same time that I was going through it. So on one hand, you feel so fortunate. On the other hand, you're just so sick that you're just like, oh my God, is this ever going to end? Like, it's a real tug of war with your head. Like, it's a real tug of war.
But you got through the first trimester anyway.
I did.
And then the second trimester, I think you enjoyed it much better, certainly than the first. And then the first bit of the third trimester has been okay. And it's just the last little while now, isn't it?
It's the kind of home front now. It's fine. Like I'm fine, as in I'm in good health. I'm not sick. I'm just tired. Like that's it. And I've a couple of pains and stuff. But
at least the only saving grace is once the baby gets here, that's it then. It's easy from there, right?
Yeah. That only dawned on us halfway through, I think, my pregnancy. Because I was like, you're just constantly worrying. Like you have to try very, very hard to turn off the worry switch in your head. Like, I just remember at some point being like, and then he gets here. And then I have to keep him alive. And like, I'm going to like never sleep again because I'm going to have one eye on him the whole time. Like, how? And then like, he's a teenager and then he goes through whatever teenagers go through. And I had this whole thought process of like, I'm just going to be worrying for the rest of my life. What are we doing? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Why do people do this?
We're at a stage now where it's a little bit of a waiting game because it could kind of happen at any point now.
Yeah. Like I kind of say from 37 weeks onwards, which I'll be 37 weeks in like 2 days, 3 days. So they kind of say from that point onwards. But she did, the doctor did say that she wouldn't let me get too big because I'm small. So because I was telling her, I was worried that you might come out with your head. So
my head is not that big.
It's ginormous. And it's ginormous when you're a baby.
I did have a big actually head as a kid,
But she said she wouldn't let me go too big.
Okay. And then in terms of, I suppose these are the things people are going to want to know, have you thought about C-section or natural birth?
So originally when I first, because we're going private, so they offer those things where I think, I don't know, but if you're going public, it's just whatever happens, happens kind of thing.
Okay.
Or whatever needs to happen. Where when I went private, she was just like, oh, have you thought about the birth, what you'd like, C-section, like natural? And I was just like, oh, I have an option here. And like the thought in my head was like, oh, get a section because like you don't have to go through the pain and all that sort of stuff. And that was kind of my naive thought process thinking that. But in actual fact, that's like serious surgery. Like
And recovery then.
But it's like the surgery is really serious. Like I read up on it. And, you know, the more I read up on it, the more I was like, actually, like, why would you choose that? You know, there's so many people out there. Like there's actually so many people through social media that I've seen that have had kids and have had to have C-sections for whatever reason they had to have them. And I remember seeing comments of people like being like, oh, too posh to push. And it's such an insult because nobody would go out of their way to choose a section unless they absolutely had to, like, do you know, because it is so, it's such an invasive surgery. The recovery of it, like they cut through your muscles, like, do you know, and you have to recover that whole section and you're left with a scar and there's all this other side of things. So, I just think people are a bit cruel when it comes to...
Oh, people love to judge them. Yeah, they love to judge, so don't opinions, they, from their ivory tower. And it's mad because everyone else is so f***ing perfect that they get to judge. Wouldn't it be great being one of those people?
So yeah, from a section point of view, I was just like, no. But I just kind of decided, you know, several months ago that whatever needs to happen to get him out safely, I'll do. That's my job right
and
now.
And they have given us an option to put together a birthing plan.
Yes. Well,
because
I read in a book, don't say plan, it's a birthing preference.
Yeah,
because it never goes to plan.
Yeah. So we have a Spotify playlist ready. I've been practicing my soothing tones.
That didn't go down well when you were practicing that.
Well, we're going to try it again. This is how I'm going to talk.
All I want to do is punch him in the face.
Do you know what? Yeah, you know when you go like to get a massage and they're like, you know.
Before I'm in labor.
Debbie, well, we're going to welcome you to the birthing suite now. And this is, I'm gonna, everything's going to be like this, very calm. Right, that's it. Breathe. This is okay.
I feel like I'm going to have to do this to you. I feel like you're the one when I go into labor is going to be like absolute panic station.
I want to deliver the baby. Our doctor said to us, how involved do you want to be with the whole process? Yeah. And I was like, well, how involved can I be? She's like, well, like you could deliver it. And I'm like, I want to deliver the baby.
Yeah, but yeah, I've been showing you graphic photos.
Which, by the way, I cannot believe you are. Why would somebody who is weeks away from going through this follow so many
accounts? I'm a factual person. I have to know information before. So I'm someone that likes to know everything before I have to do something or get involved in something. I don't like... Not that I don't like surprises, but like I liked, I suppose that's the control part of my personality. I definitely have to know the information so that when I go in there, I go, okay, they're doing that because they're doing this because I don't like not having information.
Yeah, but do you really need to watch birthing Instagram stories so of like
but it's babies? Fascinating.
It's not okay.
Oh my God, it's fascinating. Like the female body is like unbelievable what it can do.
Not denying that, totally agree. The female body is incredible that it can do what it can do. But you don't have to sit there and go, oh, Killian. I tagged you something on Instagram and I think it could be, oh, is it like a puppy dog or a cat or something cute? And I click on my Instagram and I see this.
No, it's like a baby head coming out of
a
vagina.
Like, why are you doing this to me?
At the end of the day, you're saying, yeah, I want to be involved.
Yeah, no, like, I think realistically, I'm going to stay at your end. I'm going to cut the cord.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay at your head end. Yeah, definitely. Because that way I can be the soothing presence that you need.
Yeah, I might send you out of the room.
Breathing and remember.
I'm like, don't let him in here.
Bar me before he has COVID. Get him out.
I feel very calm and I feel very, I'm excited about everything. So I feel like I'm in a great headspace for it.
Yeah, you're dying to meet him now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just like really excited now. And I do keep saying that might change when the pains start kicking in. I might become an antichrist. But I feel like throughout my whole process, hormonally, I've been great. I've been very fortunate. And like, I'm just really, really excited that I'm in such a good headspace for it. But I am very intrigued to see how you're going to cope.
Well, I tell you what, one thing I will be doing during labor is talking to you and recording it. I just need to get verbal confirmation on the podcast now that I'm allowed to do this.
Yes.
Even if in the moment you're like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We get listener submitted questions. We'll do a quick fire round.
Yeah.
And we see how that goes down.
Yeah.
Asking you questions in the middle of labor.
I feel like I'm going to be okay. I know people might be listening to this beforehand going, she's so f***ing naive.
This is why I love recording this, because even for our own sake, the naivety that we have, how we think our life is going to be with this little child in it. And you know,
everyone keeps laughing at us when we say, oh yeah, we're going to just record a podcast once a week. Your brother was even like, yeah, no, you're not going to be able to. Like, you know,
yeah, good luck. Where are you going to get the time for that?
Yeah, when are you going to do that? And we're like, well, like, we'll make time. We're like, well, so that could even be naive of us, I suppose.
Yeah, but we don't know until we do it. That's the thing about, you know, being a parent, I think, and all of the things that we've gone through is that nothing can actually, no amount of conversation or research can really prepare you for it. Even the whole IVF journey, all of that, we had lots of conversations. And
people
enough,
have a lot of opinions around it as well. And I think the journey is so specific to each couple.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people when I put up to say that we did IVF and that's how we got pregnant. I had a lot of people reach out to me looking for advice that they were about to start the journey. Which would I recommend? Which journey of
I'm
IVF?
I'm not a doctor. Yeah, I can't like, recommend
they just
this
wanted
shit to you.
Well, more opinion, I suppose, or why we had to go down the route that we did. It's such a personal journey. Like, you know, what worked... like it, part of the process, like there's so many different stages of the process, and you know, things that might have worked for me that could be your bump in the road. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's and the then, thing, because people are entering into IVF for very different reasons, and that's, I suppose, what they try and
like
decipher
be,
in with the opener, with the first tests you do. Yeah, and
like it could be the male issue, the female issue. Like for us, it was my issue, you know, and then like it's a chance, like you're taking a chance. Yeah. It's not like, you know,
and it's only the more we learned about pregnancy and the miracle of it, that the more you appreciate how fluky it is when it actually happens. I spent my 20s trying my best not to get anyone pregnant. I was like, oh, yeah, all you have to do is like rub up against a girl and you get out of the door. Like, no. The stars have to be aligned.
Yeah, it's like
all of these different things have to come into play.
And, you know, same with IVF. It's like, it's not just take the egg, take the sperm, put them together and bam, you're going to get a baby. You'll get your embryos, but they have to last a certain length of time. They have to mature. There's like so many variables involved in it. Like, if you remember, they said to me, there's 8 eggs. And I remember coming out of that going like, there's eight, like, and here I am, my head going, great, they've got 8, we only need one.
They almost thinking like we can freeze a few for the future.
Yeah, it's like we'll bank 7 of them, that's grand. Like that very same day, a couple of hours later, after they removed the eggs, they only got four that survived that procedure. And then you have to wait like 5 days, and every second day they ring you to let you know if they've lasted or not. And by the end of it, we only had one.
Yeah.
The rest of them didn't last. There's all of that process and stuff like that that's not straightforward. And, you know, it's that part of the process that create bumps along the way for everybody. We were just very lucky, very fortunate. My mom kept saying the whole time, you just need one. And we got one and it worked. But that's not the case for everybody. Like,
that's the thing. And it's one of those things that even when we were going to put it on Instagram that you were pregnant, that can be triggering for other people. And it's difficult because on one hand, this was a huge moment for us in our lives. And we wanted to be able to say, amazing, look how amazing this is. It's happening for us. As we were about to share the post, you're very aware of the fact that there are people who were in our shoes who were trying and failing. And how triggering it would have been to see. It felt like, for a while there, everyone was pregnant.
Yeah, because I even found myself when we were going through our journey, and I just never thought I was going to get pregnant. And here was like everybody was just announcing their pregnancy. And like, you know, it can be upsetting and it can be triggering. But I remember at the time really overthinking it. And at the same time being like, it's my Instagram, I can put whatever I want on it. But I guess because I was going through it, I was very aware how other people might feel and stuff. But in actual fact, I got so many messages of people that are going through the journey or have done it like 3 or 4 times. And like, there was no begrudgery because it happened to me first time round. Or there was no, it was just, I was a success story and it was something for them to see light at the end of the tunnel. Like, yeah, they might have had these mishaps, but it can happen. This miracle can happen. And I know, looking back now, that they were then the pages that I started following, people that it did happen for. All the positive stories, I kind of shut out any negativity and just watched all the positive stories. So I guess that's what I was then being for somebody else. So I kind of flipped it on its head that I was like, well, I actually can post about this because it is a positive. And if there's someone that sees it as a negative or triggering, well, then they need to remove themselves from that situation.
This is kind of like what the show is going to be, right? Just the two of us chatting, navigating our way through
parenthood.
Yeah, being a parent for the first time, both of us. I don't know about you, but quietly confident that I'm going to be pretty good at it. And I get to see in real time over the course of the child's life if I am in fact going to be good at it or not.
So people should tune in and watch us fall flat on our faces and see us navigate this new part of our life.
New episodes every week, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is it? New episodes every week, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay.
Your phone wasn't even on silent.
No, sorry. I'm such a rookie.
Oh my God, this woman, I swear to God.
I think if anything, this child isn't going to split us up, but this podcast might between my sniffles and my breaths and whatever else that I'm doing wrong for you here.